Does the name John Perkins sound familiar to any of you? Anybody? See a few hands raised out there. There is so much to say about John Perkins, but what I will tell you today is this. He was an African-American pastor who was born in Mississippi, went to California for a while, but returned to Mendenhall, Mississippi during the Civil Rights era and was very active there in every way. He and his wife actually started a Head Start program at one point. And he became convinced that the gospel of Jesus Christ was about not only feeding people spiritually, but also feeding them physically and attending not only to spiritual needs, but the needs of the whole person and helping to raise people out of poverty and really give them good news in every respect. So he was very active in Mendenhall, Mississippi, including during a boycott of white businesses in 1969. And in 1970, he was in a protest march, and to get back at him for all his work, including his participation in the boycott, he was beaten almost to death by white police officers and tortured. And as he was lying on a hospital bed in Mendenhall, understandably wanting to have nothing to do with white people from then on, God interrupted him. And God gave John Perkins a vision for an interracial faith community that would worship and serve together and make their community a better place for black and white. And this was unheard of. The churches were segregated, as they unfortunately largely are today. But God interrupted John Perkins, and he felt so strongly that this was a vision from God. He went against what he wanted to do, which was isolate himself. And he went and with others built this amazing community where white and black people of faith didn't just coexist peacefully. They were in one another's lives, and they worked together, and they served together, and they served the community. And this started a whole movement across cities in America through something called the Christian Community Development Association. The church that Perkins founded was Voice of Calvary Ministries. It has an incredible legacy today. Let's revisit for a moment the incredibly powerful reading from 2 Corinthians that Chichiramak Pala read a moment ago, especially a few particular lines from that reading. Would you just pull it out? For me, this is the heart of the gospel. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and given us the ministry of reconciliation. So, we are ambassadors for Christ. I wonder what would happen if our Lenten vision didn't involve giving up alcohol or chocolate, but rather living into a broad and generous communal vision. More specifically, was a call to participate more fully in God's work of reconciliation in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, in the cities. Further, what would happen if we looked at everyone around us in light of the new creation, as a new creation, especially those who are driving us nuts? But we made a spiritual discipline of saying, no, I am going to try to see this person through the eyes of God as a new creation in all their potential and glory and giftedness. And this would include those who live in the forgotten places in our cities, including Frogtown and North Minneapolis. I am so moved by Paul's eloquent words from the fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians, which encourage us to discover in one another the presence of God already active and at work. Despite what many of our political candidates are telling us right now, I think that our future, the future of our children, the future of the world's children, and the future of the earth, lies not in building walls, protecting boundaries, or in waging war, but in the difficult, maybe even more difficult, spiritual discipline of reconciliation and forgiveness along lines of difference. The ministry of reconciliation begins at home, which again maybe is the most difficult place because we can't romanticize those we live and work with because we see them every day and we see their giftedness and we see their flaws. We can't put them on a pedestal the way we can put our neighbors far away on a pedestal. So the ministry of reconciliation begins at home, and then it moves into the street, because ambassadors do not stay in their own countries. They move out to a new land. As I said on Ash Wednesday, reconciliation is not an event, a program, a quick fix, or a way to just gloss over things quickly, or fix it and move on. It is a journey, a long journey with God that takes time, involves slowing down, dislocation, struggle, and Sabbath. A time of rest each week, a time of letting God refill our tank and being reminded that God, not us, is ultimately in control, and that reconciliation is ultimately God's work and God's gift. And we are called to participate in it, but it comes from and only is possible through God. So receive, participate, and rest. And for some of us, participating in God's work of reconciliation may involve relocation, moving to another neighborhood. And we may never see the fruit of the work that we're involved in our lifetime. God may be just calling us to plant seeds and tend them, maybe even just to prepare the soil. And we have to live with that, but this work is no less important. This Lent, a group of us had just the incredibly powerful experience of really starting to get to know the people of Holy Trinity Episcopal Church. We met for three sessions. The first session was mostly introductions. And that was really important, just getting the chance to learn more about each other, and find points of commonality. And I think those introductions then led us to a place, as well as being able to sit down for soup together. So thank you, Rosa and Karen and all who made the soup that enabled us to sit down for a meal together and really get to know each other more over that Eucharistic meal. By session three, there was enough trust that a participant who was African-American from Holy Trinity felt safe enough to tell us a story about going to a majority white church where every week the people asked her if she knew other people of color every week. So after about 6 weeks, every week being asked if she knew other African-Americans, she stopped going to that church. There was so much more to her life, her personality. And I don't doubt these folks were well-meaning and trying, but I was so glad that she felt safe enough to share that with us. And by the end of our third session, it was so exciting. I felt the Holy Spirit moving. We were just saying, can we join together on the women's retreat and the men's retreat? And can we get together to celebrate the feast of Absalom Jones and Martin Luther King Jr.? And can we study together? And can we serve at Loaves and Fishes together? And oh, by the way, in August, we become an overflow homeless shelter. Do you want to come participate with us? And it was just, you could just feel the energy in the room about the possibilities of continuing to journey together. But it took three sessions, time to just really start to get to know each other for that to begin to happen. And eight brave souls from Holy Trinity, many of whom didn't know a person here, and came over to this church to discuss Christian reconciliation and race. Just a superficial topic, by the way. I just thought, wow, they are so brave to just come here, but they did, and it was very rich. Reconciliation is an invitation from God to connect or reconnect with others, to be in meaningful relationships, including with people across lines of race and class, and to be in these deep relationships rather than just coexisting. And maybe also incredibly important to this, as we think back about John Perkins' story, we think about our lives and the history of this church, reconciliation involves letting God interrupt us. Because I don't know about you, because in my life, that's often where God creates space for reconciliation to happen. When I'm getting off my schedule, when my schedule, my agenda is interrupted, and something happens that ends up being quite powerful. I wonder, and I'd like you to just wonder about this in the silence that follows, how God might have interrupted your life recently. And I wondered if you were interrupted recently, what you learned about God, yourself, and the other person or other people. Let us take a moment to reflect on that, and then going forward, to perhaps welcome God's interruptions in the days ahead. Amen.